Hi, listeners. This is your host and keeper, Kat. I don't have a lot of notes for the top of the episode, so instead I'll say, if you get the chance, you should see The People's Joker. No one is making movies like trans women pushing the limits of fair use for parody, and this movie is absolutely a keeper. If you're on Blue Sky, you can find each of us individually at our usual handles. If you miss the shitposting, you'll find it on Blue Sky. If you'd like to support us, there are a few ways you can do that. First, you can tell someone about the show. We thrive on word of mouth, and our goofy brand of weird is the perfect thing to recommend to your friends, your polycule, your found family, your biological family, or a fairy princess you meet randomly in the woods. We're fans of Good Pods for their really neat shareability features, but whatever you prefer works for us. If you leave a review, let us know via Skeet or Tumblr message, and you'll get a shout out on the show. Now, without further ado, let's save the world. So, now that I have my collateral, and you've agreed to the wager, let's set the stakes.
Sure.
I have a sort of emotional obstacle course that I'm going to set you to, make it through, and your friends are free.
How much do you know about me, Robert? Or do you prefer Robin?
I do prefer Robin.
Then how much would you say you know about me, Robin?
As much as I need to.
That's interesting, because then you might know that the kindest thing you could do for me is taking you from away forever.
That is true. That is quite true. But then where's the fun?
I'm not concerned about the fun. In fact, I think the fun is when I can go back to my friends and, you know, tell my dad that I've done a remarkable thing, really.
You've sacrificed a human to the Fae, and that's a remarkable thing?
Did you kill her?
Heavens no, that's not funny.
No. And so, if I would wager anything, it's that Euphrema is having the time of her life.
Well,
because frankly, you've given her an entire world of new things to learn.
She's sort of more stuck in a theater, watching whatever show I'm putting on. It's not fun for the victims, to be clear. I mean, it is after a fashion. They do sort of tend to coalesce, but
you don't know Euphrema as well as you claim to know me.
Well, no, I haven't studied Euphrema.
See,
are you
it
saying
seems to me is like you've worked your way into a rather unfortunate corner by making assumptions.
Do tell.
You believe that you've taken something important to me.
So you just want to condemn three lives to an eternity at my whim?
I mean, do they live for an eternity?
Yes.
Then some would say that's a kindness. Most humans don't get to do that.
You don't really have the concept of living forever, do you? Like, you do, but you don't.
You presuppose that I haven't been trained to deal with people like you.
And you have? Of course you have.
Now, I had to put on a pretty face, you know.
Everything in act.
Everything on stage, just the way you prefer. Now, if you don't want to keep them, that's fine. That doesn't invalidate any part of a deal. But I need you to know what the true stakes are here. And I don't think they're at all what you laid them out to be.
Then lay them out for me.
Well, I could let you go.
Or? Don't rely on implication, dear. It's uncouth.
No, I'm just, there's no reason that this has to go into the records as an incident that would mark you, you know, as potentially a threat to humans. Or we could just leave. And again,
his head
I've cleared a level
like,
2 threat.
Tilts to the side to an uncanny level. Like, it's almost a little bit upside down in a sort of storkish way. So the idea here, then, is the two options are you rat me out to the magic cops, or
you're chill and you let me go. What are the conditions?
You let the people you took at the convention back into our plane.
Just the ones I took at the convention?
Sure. I don't have nearly the ego to presuppose that I could free everyone. After all, you've been here an eternity, right?
But what's an eternity between friends? I suppose it would be a bit of a shock for the members of my audience who've been there since the 1400s.
I'd imagine at a certain point, they're more content watching the shadows on the walls.
Tell me then, Plato. What's in it for me?
Freedom. I think the thing you value most. You get to continue causing whatever.
I have that.
Yes, I suppose what I'm...
Unless you've wrapped this room in a circle of salt, and I know you haven't, I have freedom. I can just
leave. I don't know. I think you've rather made this entire convention rather salty.
He vanishes, and then he appears behind you. There's nothing stopping me from leaving. There's nothing stopping me from assuming, and his face morphs into a brand new person, a new face.
I'm going to use my new power and emerge behind him.
The angel power?
Yeah.
God, what a waste of a power. Okay, what's the ability do?
Yeah, I only need 2 more XP to level up, so I need to get it somehow.
You can instantly go anywhere you visited before or to a person you know well. Roll plus weird for me.
No, when you carry 1 or 2 people with you, roll plus weird.
Oh, so you just do it.
Yeah.
Question?
Yeah.
How's Maya taking this?
I think she's actually been, she was put to sleep by one of the quick snaps of magic. Like, I think when Euphrema disappeared, she was put to sleep because he couldn't disappear her because she had the anti-fey charm.
Okay, good.
If you had been wearing the anti-fey charm, Euphrema, you also wouldn't have gotten disappeared.
Oh, I know, but we'll talk about it after.
Yeah, but does this guy have Wi-Fi access right now? Because...
Okay, so the Meager has magic.
I don't presuppose that I'm anywhere close to your level, Robin. That's not my goal. Quite frankly, my goal is just to get out of here.
Okay, tell you what. You make me laugh 3 times. That's all. Just make me laugh thrice. And I leave you and your friends alone. And also, I suppose, Euphrema and the 3 other people from the convention, since you're particular about who you call friends.
I mean, I would think if anyone would understand, it would be you.
Friend is a rather meaningless word when you get down to it.
Fair.
Make me laugh 3 times.
I've already done that.
3 more.
Oh, you're changing the conditions.
Much like the weather, they do always change. But once we've agreed upon what we've observed, they tend to stop changing. Give me 3 additional bouts of mirth, and it is all yours. And I'll even leave you with a parting gift. 1 in fair exchange.
Have you seen the movie Step Brothers?
Do you want to go do karate in the garage?
Yes. No, I was saying that as a cutting point, really.
And I know exactly how you will make me laugh. And he taps you on the forehead. And suddenly you're transported back to Euphrema. You find yourself in a completely different room.
Am I still sitting down?
Yes. You are sitting on a black leather sofa. Or, I guess, a black leather armchair.
Interesting.
The
what
room
does it
you,
look
like? Yeah. The room that you are in has a floor with a black and white houndstooth pattern and red stage curtains all around the walls.
We decided that Euphrema had watched Twin Peaks, right?
Yes.
And didn't the one in Twin Peaks have a checkered board floor?
No, it had a chevron floor.
Oh, okay. Huh. Can't say I expected this today.
Instead of the Venus de Milo, the statue is that really breedable twink of Donatello's David.
With the HRT hips?
Yes. For the listeners, if you look up Donatello David, and it's his second sculpture of David... the 6 months of HRT have done wonders for her.
Okay, so it's vaguely familiar. Some changes. What if I just look behind the curtain?
You pull back the curtain, and there is a stage hallway. Like, the kind of hallway that looks like you are backstage.
Is there, like, a light or anything, or a door,
It's got a very backroom sort of feel. The light is coming from nowhere in particular, but it is lit.
Euphrema's gonna, like, take one last look around the room, make sure no one's coming in, and head down the hall.
At the end of the hall, you come upon a door, and the door just is labeled theater.
Theater. See if it's open.
You try the handle, and it opens.
Then I guess we go through.
In the theater room that you enter are wooden seats with, like, the canvas back that is very reminiscent of, like, vaudeville and turn-of-the-century Atlantic City theater.
Okay, yeah.
Like, it's nice, but cheap. Like, the seats themselves are cheap, but the theater is pretty nice looking. And there's a number of other people in this room, including Casimir Visions and Tara.
Oh, okay. Yep. I guess I expected that. I guess we'll wave to them to try and get their attention.
Casimir Visions looks over and sees you.
It is Eugenia. She has come to rescue us.
Close enough, and maybe not quite.
Well, if it would help, there is a show about to start.
Try to get off the stage then?
You're not on the stage. You're like...
Okay.
Like, you can see the stage. Basically, the stage... Okay. So, you know how there are, like, side doors that the actors will sometimes use to get around to, like, the theater if they need to come up the aisle for the blocking of a scene?
I'm going
to
take your word on that. Can't remember. One of us was not a theater kid.
Okay, so you know at Theater Scarborough how there's the two side entrances that get you backstage from the actual theater?
Sure.
One's a curtain, one's a door. We've gone through them before.
Yeah, that was like pre-pandemic.
Okay, well, anyway, it's one of those doors, so the stage is sort of back and to the left.
Back and to the left, okay.
So, like, yeah, you aren't quite on stage, but there is a seat there for you. Next to Tara and Casimir.
Well, that's convenient then. I guess your friend will take her seat then.
As you take your seat, the lights dim and the curtains pull back, and you see Riley.
Oh no. Oh, this is what Riley saw before.
Uh-huh.
Fred was like whispering all this out loud. Turning to Casimir and Tara. Okay, where are we?
Tara says, the theater, why?
Because I was in the green room a minute ago at the hotel.
Okay. So, show starting. And the camera pulls in on Riley, except Riley looks about 10-ish years younger. Or at least, I guess, weird question to ask, but Riley... At what age did you start physically expressing your interest in boys? Which is to say, like, what age was Riley contemplating having sex for the first time?
Oh.
Like, 16? 16, 17. Yeah, she's like 26 probably. Now, so it's like 10 years ago.
Yeah, like 10 years. Yeah.
It's 2014. You're dressed in very typical 2014 teen girl fashion. I think it's like Riley's got like gym shorts on because she's at home and it's probably like after cross country practice or something like that. And your mom and dad knock on your door. Hey, what? Kiddo, can we come in?
Why?
We just want to have a little talk.
Yeah, whatever.
Riley, you get the sense that this has happened before. Like, you are actively reliving a memory. And, I don't think I can make you roll in this scenario, because you haven't done an action that warrants it. And it's supposed to be that the rolls are based on the actions you take. So, your parents enter the room. They look, the bits of gray that have started showing up in your dad's hair aren't quite so prevalent anymore. They are themselves, but 10 years younger. And your dad takes a seat at your computer chair. I assume you're probably on your bed.
Yeah.
Your mom is hovering. Not like literally, but like mom hovering, where she sort of looms a little bit.
Right.
Okay, honey, you're getting to be that age. What's your mom's name? And what's your dad's name? Do we have that?
It's written somewhere, but I'm not sure it's been used in the podcast.
Well, there's a first time for everything.
As file. You definitely have sent that Riley spreadsheet over. It was just a while ago.
Yeah, I can open it. David and Lynn.
For Christ's sake, Lynn, she's practically an adult. David, I'm just trying to not make this awkward for her. Can we...
How Okay, I have this sense of deja vu. Like, is it extremely like what just happened, or is it like what
it includes? It includes a lot of what just happened, because you remember this as being one of the most awkward times of your life.
Right. But
the argument, like, it wasn't like a real argument. It was just like a let's just get this over with because none of us want to have this conversation kind of a little spat. Like, your parents argue because they're adults who have
they're both differing opinions. Professors.
And they're both college professors. But, like, they don't fight.
No.
And this doesn't feel like a fight. It just feels like it feels like they're also feeling how awkward it is.
Are you guys serious?
Yeah, Riley. We're...
No, like, I know how sex works, right? Like, I'm 16.
Yeah, I know you know how sex works.
And so you're in here...
Because we trust you. We trust you to make good decisions.
Yeah, which I do.
I just want to make sure that you know that if you need anything, if you find yourself in a bad spot, you can call me any time of day. If I'm teaching a class and you need help, I will end class early and come get you. If the world is ending...
Dad, don't joke about that. Sorry.
No, you're right, but I just want you to be careful.
I am not doing that, and if I were, I know how to be careful, okay?
Do you know if he says it feels worse with the condom on, he's lying, right? And sorry, your dad's name was David, right?
David.
David! That's not what this conversation's about, Lynn.
I mean, I know it means he's a douchebag, so...
Okay.
Doesn't matter either way?
Yeah, you know,
friends who are pregnant, right? Like,
I guess
it's not Archie comics.
I guess I just kind of forget that there's still
not friends,
the part of
like classmates, like
there's
not.
Still that part of you that's just a regular kid, you know? Like, we're so wrapped up in order stuff and academia that it's easy to forget that you're just a regular kid sometimes.
I think we've spent 16 years making sure I'm not a regular kid, so...
I mean, all right, yeah. Okay, so...
Besides, it's like, if I have another boyfriend, are you just gonna order him away on a secret mission again?
I think this is the first time you've mentioned that as,
probably. It was probably an accident. Yeah.
What?
I mean, like, you didn't... Are you really gonna pretend?
This wasn't... When I'm acting... As you know, that hurts.
Yeah. You know, it also hurts when, like, you grow up around, like, two other kids your age in the order, and then you don't get to talk to Scott for a year.
Honey, I didn't send Scott to punish you. I didn't send Scott because you two were dating. Scott was the most qualified for this mission. It's a simple fact. When I'm doing order business, I don't let my personal life get involved.
Well,
I know that. You should know that. Scott knows that.
Maybe you could. Is that really gonna end the world?
I have a ancient and sacred duty. I took the oath in Latin. I signed with blood.
Yeah, no, it's old.
You know I don't like needles.
Yes, Dad. It's...
Honey... Your dad just wants what's best for you. And I know that's hard to conceptualize at times. Because what you think is best for you and what we think is best for you aren't always gonna match. And I don't know. I don't think we've ever lied to you.
Did I accuse you of lying to me?
Well, you're just sort of acting like he sent Scott away for... To punish you and
no, I know he didn't. I'm just like, you guys raised me smart. We don't need to have this conversation. It's weird, okay? Like,
yeah, it's awkward for us too, honey.
Okay, then we're good.
It's just, you know, American public schools, sex education isn't the best, and we want to make sure you're equipped.
I mean, you know, like, there are like 12 books of sex rituals in the third shelf in the library.
Yeah, we know about the sex rituals, but, like, the sex rituals are a whole different thing.
Well, yeah, but they give you a pretty good illustrated example of how it all works. So.
I'm not talking about positions. We're talking about prophylactics.
Jesus! No. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Condoms. My teacher did the banana thing in health class. Like, I know how they work.
Point of order. Would Riley have had abstinence-only sex education?
In New Hampshire? No way.
New Hampshire's, like, weirdly conservative, though.
Like, it is, but in a... New Hampshire's, like, weirdly libertarian.
Fair.
Not weirdly religious. They're just, like, my freedom.
Okay. Yeah, okay. You know, he can't put it on one way and then take it off and put it on the other. Like... You can
yes, nope.
Still
yeah,
get
that's
pregnant.
Two
from
aren't better than one. There's. Can we just be done?
Okay, David. I'm done with this. Your mom leaves. You know I didn't send him on a mission to hurt you, right?
I know, Dad. Just most people don't. When you have to explain to your friends why you and your boyfriend broke up and you have to just fucking make up he moved away or whatever, like...
Yeah.
It's not fair.
You're right. And...
And I know it's not your fault, and I know you didn't choose to be Augur Primus, and I know that this is all much bigger than any of us. Just sometimes it would be kind of fucking nice. Sorry, flipping nice.
It's okay, your mom's not here, you can say fuck.
I think that, like, a genuine giggle. I'm fine. I'll be fine. I know how all of that works. And so we don't have to ever bring it up again. I mean, you don't want to. Like, we're on the same page here. So.
Yeah, okay. I really do mean it. I'm proud of you, and I'm sorry for the stuff I have to put you through.
I know, but better that than losing me. You've told me that 100 times, and I believe it. I know there's stuff out there.
There's going to come a time when you're the most qualified to go on a mission. And my heart is going to break. But I'm going to send you anyway. And I'm not looking forward to it. But I know you're going to kick ass when I do.
I will.
And hey, I heard you were... What's a good mile time for cross country?
I mean, cross country starts at like 5K, right? And a good 5K time is like under 20 minutes for girls? I could be wrong.
Yeah, let's say,
yeah, around 20 minutes.
I heard you were starting to push down towards 19.
If I don't wear myself out in the first mile. Coach says I don't know how to pace myself yet.
You gotta remember, I guess, So everything I have here is a cliche.
I mean...
I trust you. You're gonna break 19, and we'll take you out for CC's.
Sounds like a deal.
And then the memory sort of fades. Can you roll just a straight 2d6 for me?
No.
Or, I'm sorry, actually...
Roll lesbian. 2d6.
Roll plus cool.
Oh, that one. Hey!
Nice work.
Number in the result.
Oh, I rolled a 9, which is a mixed success on a cool roll.
Okay, so Euphrema, you just watched Riley get a sex talk.
Well, that was awkward. What the hell's an Augur Prime?
The curtains close, and a PA announcement in Robert Alvin's voice says, "Ladies and gentlemen, there will be a 15-minute intermission before the next act. Please avail yourself of our snack bar."
That's 15 minutes to get out of here. Find a way out of here. Something.
Yeah, I think your best bet for finding a way out of here is to read a bad situation.
I can do that. I can do that with an 8 for a mixed success.
Nice. Okay, so on a mixed success, hold one. You can ask, what's your best way in? What's your best way out? Are there any dangers you haven't noticed? What's the biggest threat? What's most vulnerable? What's the best way to protect the victims?
Ooh, I am surrounded by victims. Think your friend's mindset is to go for what's the best way out.
Okay. You can try to look backstage, but I think you kind of get the sense that that is intentionally a maze. Maybe one that doesn't have an exit other than the one that you would enter it through. A labyrinth.
Real jerk Minotaur's maze going on here.
Mm-hmm. A Dave made a maze. Which I...
Is there a vagina wall?
Delightful movie.
I love that movie.
It's a theater. There's a front door.
But it's also like a magical realm theater.
Yeah, the front door outside of the lobby might be your best way out.
Okay, I'm going to try and get Casimir and, I remember her name's Yulia.
Tara.
I can't remember. Tara, thank you. Okay, Tara, Casimir.
Jace.
We're going to try and get out of here.
I don't want to miss the next act.
Okay, Tara?
This is pretty entertaining, I'm not gonna lie.
Okay. They're in pretty deep, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I don't make it out, I'll be back then.
Okay, try to keep it under 15 minutes, because I think the next act is gonna be a really good one.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you, Tara. So, your friend is gonna get up and go for the front door.
So, you exit the theater, and upon exiting the theater, it vanishes behind you.
Oh, that's probably not good. Shit. Okay, is there anything to get my bearings by?
It is a sort of twilight, a dusky twilight.
But Euphrema hasn't read Twilight.
With no visible sun, nor a new moon.
Eclipse?
No eclipse either.
So again, there's no source of light, and it's just kind of moody.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a sort of loose, packed forest.
Okay. Is there a trail noticeable? Human, game, anything?
There's a trail, I think. There's definitely a trail. It's just not the kind of trail that, it doesn't lead up to you. You have to go through, you have to do a bit of, like, a little bit of bushwhacking, but, like, the barest kind of bushwhacking where it's maybe a couple of autumn leaves that you have to traipse through. And yeah. Probably check your legs for ticks afterwards.
Yeah, as you should anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Euphrema is going to do that to get to the trail and then try to find like a stick or something to put it in the ground, like stand it up in the ground.
Yeah, that all happens.
Cool. Now I have a marker in case I get lost. Hopefully. Maybe.
The woods sprawl out before you. Exits are left, right, and Dennis.
Hey, can I take Dennis?
You cannot get ye flask.
Okay, I need to find a flask now.
No, but like the trail goes in two directions. You've sort of reached it at a U-bend.
I got left and right.
Yes, you've got at the U-bend there is a like tremendously large red-leafed oak.
Ooh, pretty. Is there anything noticeable about the oak? It's just big and pretty?
There's a hollow in it, but it is otherwise just big and pretty.
Oh, okay. There's a hollow. How big is the hollow?
Like, you could probably fit a fat raccoon in there. Like a city raccoon.
Yeah. Dumpster diving. Okay. Gonna find another stick, poke it in that hollow, see if anything comes out. If not, we're gonna take the left path.
Nothing comes out.
Great. I'm gonna take the left path.
You stroll down the path for a little while, and then you hear a enchanting sort of song. Not like a siren song, just like
Thank you for noticing my question.
Very, like a really lovely, almost haunting, in the way that like haunting art rock can be haunting, you know, like that little
it's
bit.
Kind of hypnagogic.
A little bit, but not hypnotic.
Yeah.
Do you want to follow the voice?
Yeah, if there's someone else here, she'll probably find them. They might know the way out.
You come upon a tall woman with fiery copper hair, lightly pointed ears, and a just absolutely gorgeous gown. And she might be the prettiest woman you have ever seen.
I guess.
With a voice to match.
Probably hiding behind a tree, trying to be kind of inconspicuous looking around.
Yeah, can I have you say what you were going to say?
And it probably looks like something out of a fairy tale where the person gets caught and immediately turned into some kind of animal.
Roll to act under pressure.
Mixed success with 7.
Okay, so you do manage to hide, but it's not quite like perfect, and you know if she turns in your direction, you are going to be found pretty readily.
Turn into some kind of animal.
Do you continue creeping on her?
No. I think Frem was going to start calling out. Excuse me? I'm not trying to sneak up on you.
Oh, g'day.
Oh, the fair Australian, got it. Your friend will come up from behind the tree. Hi.
Hello. How did Amiga get here? Are you lost, daughter of Eve?
What?
Are you lost?
Yes. Extremely.
I didn't know this was going to be a crossover episode with Gold Squad.
No, she's Australian. She's not Kiwi.
Oh, okay.
I'm upset I could tell the difference in the accent.
So, how?
That's a good question. Because, well, I was in a hotel, and then I was in a red room. The curtains were red. And then I was in a theater, and then I was in the forest, and now I'm here.
That's interesting. By the way, what are you called?
I'm called Euphrema. Euphrema noticeably pauses to analyze what she said.
She specifically asked in a I'm not taking your name way.
Yes.
I'm called Sesha, Duchess of the Bracteate Court.
What was the title?
Duchess of the Bracteate Court. Bracteate is a type of plant with a pseudo leaf. Or it's like a
port.
Plants that have bracts instead of leaves.
Sesha. That's...
Sesha. Like...
Sesh.
Do you want me to spell it? I can spell it.
Yeah.
S-A-O-I-R-S-E.
Sesha.
Sesha.
I'm trying with this. Get you weird names.
It's not a weird name. It's a real Irish name.
I know. I'm having trouble with it.
It's like the thing you do with steak, sear, and then just...
Sear-sha.
Sear-sha.
Okay. Sear-sha. Sear-sha. Okay. Think and I got it?
You're called Euphrema.
Euphrema, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a fancy title, sorry.
That's... You're a rather fascinating one, though, aren't you?
In a good way?
I think so. And she's, like, batting her eyelashes at you.
Oh, okay. I could be kind of interesting, yes.
I can...
and she'll, like, start walking towards Sirsha.
I could offer you help with getting home.
That?
Not for free, of course.
Well, no, nothing comes free, but help is appreciated.
So, do you want to know my price, or would you like to trade questions?
Yeah, I didn't hear the first one, Kat.
Would you like to know my price, or would you like to trade questions?
I don't know if I have time for questions thing. I'm on a bit of a schedule.
Time does move differently here, love.
Yeah, I guess I have time for questions then.
Then we'll trade question for question.
I guess Euphrema sits down. This is going to take a while.
Have you met one of my brethren?
Yes.
Your turn.
Where exactly is here?
It depends on how specific you're looking for. Longitude, and I will give you latitude. An additional question.
This realm?
This realm. This realm is the Unseelie realm.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should have expected that.
The Bracteate Court is one of two courts under the High King, of which my mum is the queen.
Pretty forthcoming with answers.
Well, it's not every day you run into a pretty girl in the woods.
Uh-huh. I think it's your turn?
Yes, it is. I'm thinking of another question. What's your favorite food?
This one's actually written down somewhere.
It's very odd that... Shortly before you asked that question, I had dim sum paradise just pop into my head to get stuck.
I like anywhere with a value menu.
Oh, you're funny too. Your question. One must imagine you from it to be at least a little bit curious about the accent.
Well, yeah. So, why do you have an Australian accent?
I don't have an Australian accent. I have an Unseelie accent. It's slightly antipodean for the Seelie court, but your kind copied us.
Oh, that's all kinds of implications. Cool.
Well, yes, we are sort of in charge of the winter and the autumn, so it is a bit cooler here.
Okay, now you're the funny one.
And she can flirt. Hello. I don't think I have any more questions, other than the one that is my price.
I have one other question before that.
Ask away.
Can we actually stop Robert Alvin / Robin Goodfellow / Puck?
Him?
Him.
Oh, that's fucking easy, mate. You just gotta make him laugh.
Oh, I totally overthought that then.
Yeah, probably. The meager tend to have a disposition that leads them to overthinking.
Okay, you know, guilty as charged, I guess.
So, my return question then. Do you want to get coffee sometime?
Yes.
Then it's my price.
You okay there, Erica?
Yeah, just...
Now, I want to be clear. At like 11:30 at night last night, I messaged Aaron. Hey, Aaron, wouldn't it be funny if I gave Euphrema a hot fairy girlfriend after I told Erica, no, Riley can't have a hot fairy boyfriend? This is also Erica why I said, you're going to hate me after today. I learned more about a court of noun and nouns in the last like 24 hours just to do this bit than I ever cared to.
Seems like the lengths that you would go to annoy me.
And I think there we cut back to the theater and another Riley memory. Cutting forward, Riley, your second memory starts playing. Choose one or three.
Three.
You're at a cross-country meet. You're eight. You're like 17. It's your senior year in high school. This is sort of your last hurrah. And you have gotten your 5K down to like 19 and a half. Like you're doing really good. Like you've shaved 30 seconds off your sophomore year time, which is put you sort of towards the top of your, like, you're at the top of your school's division and liable to make states after you finish out the last regular season meet of the regular season.
Right.
It's against another local school. You're at like Philston Public School or something like that. This is like a
Philston High.
I don't know New Hampshire towns. That's
me neither. There's some small one on the coast that I based Philston on, though. So I can look that up.
It's like the
New Hampshire doesn't have much coast.
Yeah, let's go with
20 miles.
It's like the Seabrook Hawks is the team that you're up against.
Perfect.
And there is a new competitor on that team. She's within your like age group and everything like that. So she's also a senior. And she has like close cut, short, dyed green hair. She's wearing the uniform, but she's like cut the uniform so that there's like goth cuts on the side and like safety pins. And you're doing your warm-ups, you're doing your stretches before the meet, and she comes up to you, sits down across from you while you're doing your stretches. Hey,
you know they can give you a uniform violation for that, right?
I mean, it's 30 seconds. I'm fast.
And confident.
Yeah, you know, it's just about running fast, right?
I suppose when you boil it down. Yeah.
I'm Allie, by the way.
Riley.
Cute name.
Thanks. My parents thought of it.
Yeah, that is generally how names go. What's your best time?
1938.
She whistles. So you're fast too, huh?
I mean, not the fastest in the state. Not yet, anyway.
Oh, and you're confident. Okay. I like a girl who's confident. And, like, you know? She's laying the riz hard.
Yeah, and Riley is oblivious. I was raised by feminists. They encouraged me to be confident. That's all I'm saying.
Right, no. But, like, what kind of feminists?
I mean, they were probably brought up in second wave feminism, but at this point, they've really become third wave feminists, I would say.
Did you read a lot of Audre Lorde, or?
I read a lot, generally.
I feel like I'm flirting at a brick wall.
Oh, fuck. I appreciate that you would want to flirt with me. I'm not, it's cool, and I'm glad to be clear and stuff. I'm just not that way. I'm not gay. I guess I can say that word. Sorry.
Are you of an age where you would recognize Vine references? I feel like you guys are.
Sure.
Right? Like 26.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
Like that's reasonable Vine age.
Middle school watching Vine. Which, to be clear, people did. That's reasonable. Yeah.
I'm debating whether or not she makes a so no head joke, but like that's maybe too much because that's just a Vine that came to mind, but like that's not. Yeah,
I don't think that's one. Erica, no. Oh,
that's a good one. Yeah, no.
No head, throw phone, stomp skateboard.
Yeah. Well, you know, doesn't have to be anything.
Oh.
Can you go get Duncan after this?
I mean, I don't want to, like, lead you on.
It's not like I haven't tried to flirt with a straight girl before. Like, it's fine. You just, you know.
So, like.
You read feminist literature. You seem kind of cool.
Okay, like.
Like.
Friends.
Do you want to get a coffee culotta after this?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, okay. Meeting you, Riley.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you at the finish line. I'll be the one stretching.
Okay. Riley, this conversation replays in your head so many times as you run this race. And it goes so badly.
The race?
The race.
Oh, good. Perfect.
You come third. And you're, like, back up at a 20. And technically, Allie finished before you, but got a uniform violation, so did finish one behind you.
Loser.
But she's faster than you, and that's maybe a little bit scary for Riley. And you hear a sort of echoing laughter as the memory fades away. Euphrema.
Is that me?
You and Saoirse are still sitting in this glade.
I'm moving strangely.
So, where do you want to go?
Well, guess we gotta go back to the theater, because there's like people there that have been kidnapped this weekend.
Okay.
I don't know how I'm going to get them out of there, though. They were intent on watching the show.
Yes. Yeah, and I sort of only made the agreement with you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm interested in going for coffee with two other people there.
I wouldn't be bringing them to coffee. They just need to not be kidnapped.
Could you give me a moment?
I suppose we have lots.
She disappears. Then, a couple seconds later, she reappears. Okay, so I have good news.
Uh-huh.
Your little friends in the theater, they're currently being, sort of rescued by your little friend Riley.
Oh.
So anytime you want to go, we can go.
Yeah, I guess if Riley's on top of it.
And, just for the record, you're buying me the coffee in exchange for the teleportation services.
Yeah, kind of figured you wouldn't have, like, Earth money?
If money?
Yeah, the place I'm from.
Oh, Mega. Gotcha. Yeah, no, we have, we have some. You wouldn't believe the amount of humans who try to pay us off.
Yeah, I would.
So you're Kenny, too. Okay.
I mean, we can talk a bunch over coffee.
I would love to get to know you more.
Your friend is gonna, like, stand up and, like, pat down her pockets, make sure everything's there still.
Everything's there still.
Okay. I think I'm good to go.
Pick a date sometime on the calendar, write it down on a slip of paper, and burn it.
Simple enough.
I'll see you then. And she just boops you on the nose.
I'm looking forward to it.
Euphrema, you are back at the hotel. But before that...
Where in the hotel am I?
What?
Where in the hotel am I?
You are in the green room.
Okay.
Exactly where you disappeared from. Robert Alvin gives you a little finger waggly wave. It'll just be a moment. And we snap back to Riley's third memory. Riley,
One quick question.
Uh-huh.
Can Riley see the audience still?
Yes.
Has Riley noticed that Euphrema isn't there?
Riley?
I think she's just trying to get through this as fast as possible.
That's fair.
I mean, their memories, like,
yeah,
they're gonna pass regardless.
Riley, the other two have been, like, awkward and a little uncomfortable, and, like, getting flirted with by a girl made you feel some weird things, but you're not sure what that means. This one just sucks. Because this is the memory of... Oh, what was your boyfriend's name?
Scott?
Scott. This is the memory of, like, that 6 months after he had been sent on his mission, where he called you and... Well, let's just let it play out. You pick up your phone. Hey.
Hi, Scott.
Can we talk?
I mean, yeah, we do every Friday.
Right.
Like, something specific? Do you need something?
I think it's just that I don't know. I think I'm having a hard time with being long distance.
I mean, yeah, it sucks. I'm also not enjoying it.
Yeah, no, that's, like, I get that. It's just difficult, and I'm having a really tough time with just, you know, feeling things. Do you feel the same way?
I mean, I miss you.
Yeah.
Like, every day,
no,
I miss you.
That's kind of what the problem is. Just, I miss you a lot, and I, having that just constantly there, it's hard, you know? And, like, if we're on the same page about this, then that makes it easier. I don't feel so bad.
Same page.
Yeah, you know, like what we were talking about.
Scott, I was talking about missing you.
So was I? And why that sucks and makes it so hard?
To do what?
Be in a long-distance relationship. I thought we agreed that was, like...
Oh, Jesus. Okay, sorry. I think I seriously misread. I'm sorry.
So we're on the same page then, like, that we agree. I'm trying to,
We agree that we miss each other, and I'm really confused now.
Okay, so then, come on, Scott.
Are you trying to break up with me, Scott?
I don't want to break up with you, but...
Okay, good. Then that's what I didn't want to say before. Like, that's what I was afraid you were going to say. I'm sorry for bringing it up.
Do you want to?
No.
But, like, the distance.
Sucks.
It's really hard.
It's awful. We knew when my dad sent you out that it was going to suck. But we also have our ways to make it work, right? Like, that's why we call each other and send each other postcards. And... Even if I have to give the postcards to my dad so he can send them to wherever you are. Like, we're figuring out ways to make it work as best as we can.
It's the time zones really suck.
Okay, I know you're not allowed to tell me what time it is, but, like, I can call you in the morning or whatever. We can make it work, Scott.
We could.
But you don't want to?
No, I want to. I just...
Please, Scott, I feel like you're not telling me the truth or something.
I can't keep doing this.
This isn't this being us.
Not while I'm an undisclosed distance away.
But you're gonna come back.
Lee...
I mean, you're gonna come back,
Scott. I don't think I'm coming back.
What do you mean? What does that even mean?
I mean, I'm not going back to New Hampshire.
No, that's what my dad promised me. Scott, no, you don't... Well, you're out there doing that. I'm just... sitting here in New Hampshire, in my fucking hometown, in our hometown, and I just get to sit here and remember what it's like when you're here. Do you think it's easy?
No.
No, but I love you.
I love you too. I do. This is just... Every part of me is happy here, except the part of me that misses you. And I can't go back to Filston, New Hampshire. Lee, the world is so much bigger than you think it is. And there's so much outside of New Hampshire. And I'm not talking about Boston.
No, I know, Scott.
I know you know, but...
And you know that I can never fucking choose to leave, right? But you get to. So if that's gonna be your choice, then I guess I'll be here. You have fun in undisclosed location. No, I'm done.
I'm sorry.
I hang up.
Does Riley have any siblings? No, she's an only child, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
I think there's a reality where Riley had a much older brother who she never really knew, who died because of her father, right?
Okay.
I think that was something I think about and never wrote down, so we don't have to put that on the podcast even.
That's fine. Okay, yeah. Cool. So you are sitting there just heartbroken. Really, truly heartbroken. And your door opens. Here's Dad! Hey, kiddo! You just made state, and I'm ready to take you out for Pete, so... Hey, you okay?
Did you know?
Know what?
That Scott was never coming back. You promised.
Yeah, I did, kiddo. I did. He told me yesterday. The plan was for him to come back after a year. I would never lie to you. The plan was always that he would come back after a year. He wanted to stay. I'm so sorry.
You promised.
I did.
No, he did, Dad. You didn't make him do... You didn't make him stay. He did.
And I can call him back.
No,
honey.
Yeah, that would fix everything. Drag his ass back to miserable Filston, New Hampshire, so that...
Filston isn't...
Your daughter can fucking date him. That's...
No, I'm sorry.
He's supposed to want to come back. I'm supposed to be worth coming back to, Dad. But I guess I'm not. Am I?
Maybe not to him, but someone will find you worth coming back to.
Not while I'm stuck here.
I know
just
it feels
dating
like...
the fucking order, I guess.
Honey, I know it feels like forever, but once you're done with your degree, we can start sending you on missions. Just finish college. And
I'm not in the mood for pizza, Dad.
Yeah. Let me know if you want to eat anything tonight.
Yep, I'll do that.
Sorry. No. And he closes the door as he leaves. And the memory fades. There isn't really a laugh this time.
Yeah.
But you are back in the green room, and Euphrema is there, and so is Robert Alvin.
Are the others there, too?
Not yet. Well, that one was depressing.
You're the one who picked it.
Well, it was supposed to be funny because you didn't understand that you had been broken up with until after you had been broken up with, but I suppose comedy and tragedy. No, you know what? That one kind of sucked. I'm sorry. Well, your friend is back.
You want? Here. You want a third laugh, like we agreed?
That is the agreement.
What did the young girl do after her ex-boyfriend never called her again?
I don't know. What did she do?
This. I'm gonna kick him in the fucking nuts.
Roll to kick some ass.
Hell yeah.
Actually, also, you should have plus one forward from succeeding a roll. So from way back when, because there's the alternate rule set. So that is a 10 with your plus one forward. So that is a unquestionable success. So on a 10 plus, you, I guess it's a zero harm move, right?
Yeah. No, my boot knife comes out and he dies.
Easy vasectomy.
I'm just going to say this isn't even part of the combat. Like there's no like combat maneuvers happening. He gets kicked in the nuts and he falls down, hands over his groin, cross-eyed, and you hear a meek good one. And then he disappears and Casimir Visions and Tara are both back in the green room with you. And that's where we end the episode.
The episode.
Chicks with Dice is a part of Danger Square Productions. To support the work we do, visit our website, dangersquare.ca. Monster of the Week is written by Michael Sands and published by Evil Hat Productions. Remember, the best way to help the show is to leave a review on the podcatcher of your choice or to tell a friend about the show. Word of mouth is the number one way a podcast gains new listeners, and coming in at a close second are 5-star reviews. Theme song for Disaster Lesbian's Guide to the Apocalypse is My Mommy Dom Spit in My Mouth and Now I'm a Commie by Over My Dead Name. Visit linktr.ee/omdn for Allison's other work. This episode features Aaron Cotter as Euphrema Naylor. Aaron uses they-them pronouns. 40 under 40 gay luminary Erica Belsaz played Riley Knudsen. Erica uses any-all pronouns. This episode also featured me, Kathleen Heslop. I use she-her pronouns. Until next time, keep an eye out for anything weird.